have his mic on. Hey, the bass.
I think
a rhythm.
That's cheaper.
Fun Raksha. So we're going to go back to yesterday's Gemara. Chazer. And hopefully we'll go back to. Okay. As I think, let's see back to the Gemara and Tanya. We're starting from the end where we started yesterday, basically. Tanya. We looked at the last Gemara before the Mishnah. Tanya. Amar Yehuda ben Tabai. Yehuda ben Tabai says, Ereb ben Achama, which means, according to one Shah and Rashi, I will see, you should see me in consolement, and you should console me. Imloy, if this following story is not true. Right? Basically saying this story is true. If this story is not true, that you should see, I should see you in consoling me for all his children to die. That what? If not, Imloy Harakti, Aid Zayman. If I did not kill one Aid Zayman, which is, even though it was only one Aid, and we know we're going to see in the next Mishnah already, you only kill it, whereas a different Mishnah, you only kill the one that both Aid him Zayman. He did it, he purposely killed only one Aid Zayman. Even though you're only allowed to kill when they both become Aids of it. Now, why did he do this? What was the purpose? V'haytzi miliban shel tzedukin. To take it out from the heart of the tzedukin. Meaning, shahayu, because they used to say, ein eidim zayimin haragin ad sheharag hanidon. The eidim zayimin don't get killed ad sheharag hanidon until we kill the nidon. Meaning what? What did tzedukin say?
That you only kill him when if you kill the other guy.
Oh. If you kill the other guy, if you're in stage 3, then you kill him. You only kill him if you need the other guy. You only kill him. Take it.
Maybe like 6 lines before the Mishnah at the bottom.
So you only kill him if you kill the need. Right, that's what it is. Only after stage 3. Right, that's what the Tzedukim. So what happened, according to the Tzedukim, what's the Allah Kharabah? According to the Tzedukim, after stage 2. So you, according to this movie, you only kill if
after
kill,
stage 3.
After stage 3, man. If it's only after stage 2,
then you don't kill the guy.
You don't kill him. He has a story here. It's only after stage 2, and he dafka killed the guy, even though it was only one.
How do we know it's after stage 2?
Because that's so chiddush. He's saying, "Haytzim leave one shot to duke him." To get out of the heart of tzedukim. The tzedukim say you only have to kill after stage 3.
Their hearts, he's trying to make the tzedukim become.
So that's what it sounds. It's interesting, right? That's what it sounds like. You're trying to get at their hearts, like prove, show them that we don't hold you and you're wrong, and I'll even kill a guy to show you.
It sounds like he's ripping his heart out.
I know differently that the I know you suggested that you disagree with me, but in a second, like the malaven is the embarrassment of the tzedukim. The tzedukim embarrassed us with their learning, and in order to get out of that.
That's what he says. That's Pshat.
I've seen that before in Blinere in Hagiga, where in order to get out of the malaven, it doesn't say anything. It just says to get out of. It avoids the question.
What does that mean together?
In Hagiga, it has to do with the sheriff.
Their learning is a lot more clear, and it's embarrassing for us that we have an apparently lesser.
Right, because they're making drushes and this and that. They're like
could be embarrassment.
Malvin, like Malvin from Ereb Rabin.
Malvin.
What does it mean to take it out from there? Meaning to pacify them or to show them their wrong?
No, to show them their wrong.
It would say Mimelal.
It would say Mimelal.
To take out from their embarrassment? I think if anything, it would be to embarrass them.
It would say Mimelal. No?
Yeah, but they have so much
chutzpah.
Here's a Miliban. They say from their hearts. Here they put it in the That's what all the Miliban. It's from the hearts. I mean, to take away from that. Yeah, but it's a pshat, it's your pshat. It's like the drush of pshat.
From the hearts of the tzedu.
So it's a fold and it's a rifle.
Fully.
Right.
You're trying to bring them to tshuva?
I'm joking around.
You're trying to bring them to tshuva?
Put out of my phone. Maybe get married, smash.
Fine. Wait, don't break the glass, break the iPhone.
Trying to bring him to
Tshuva,
that's the whole point.
He's
Jewish, right?
Yeah, he wants him to Tshuva. So he's showing them, but he's about killing a guy to show them you guys are wrong. I'll even kill a guy. It's not like I'm just saying my star.
You can soul from any souls if you can bring them to Tshuva.
Maybe, but also that they, right, sometimes they have a kayak. He's saying, I'm about to kill the guy in order to show the Tzedukim how strong we are about it. Tzedukim think we make drushes and we're not serious about it. I'll kill a guy to show that we mean business. That if even after stage 2, that's what you call the Aiden Zone.
I don't understand. How did he kill the guy? He testified on one of the two? How did he
No.
How did he get involved in the death of this guy?
Eight Zomim.
Two. Testifying the witness.
Two Eight Zomim came.
He could be a Beis Din.
Two Eight Zomim came. He was the dying. What do you mean? He was the dying.
Right,
he was the judge.
Good.
He's the judge. Now, two Eidim Zomim came in, and they said, we were with one of these guys. The Eidim Zomim came in, they said, we were only with one of these guys at Sunday 9 a.m., right? Reuben and Shimon both say, two guys come in and say, we saw Reuben kill Shimon 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Good? Now, two Eidim Zomim come in, and they say, only on one of them. How could you say, Eidim, you were with us at 9 a.m. somewhere else, right? The only Eidim Zomim only went against one of them. Right?
So to say what happened, in the case of Eidim Zomim is actually very, probably quite rare. To actually get the case of Eidim Zomim in and to get it in that time, never happens. So along comes a case where it actually happened.
Oh.
And he thought, let's do it and I'll show everybody that this is the...
And we don't care what... They do, so that's the problem. Like, even though both of them were not Eidim Zomim in this case, but in order to... He went against the regular halacha. Even though usually you need both of them to become Eidim Zomim to kill both of them. Even though in this case only one of them became Eidim Zomim, Eidim Zomim only just went against one of them, still he killed them. Why he killed this guy? Why? To show that we kill a person when they're in the case of Eidim Zomim, when the Eidim Zomim come after stage two. Even if they didn't come after we killed the guy. I mean, Tzedukim say, when do we kill the Eidim Zomim? Only if we already killed the guy who was being accused. He's saying, even in this case, the guy didn't get killed yet.
I understand why you just wait for a case.
This is the reality. I don't know why he didn't wait.
It
was such a good move.
Suggested that there wasn't such a case. It's a rare case, so therefore it didn't happen.
It's not proving anything. He's going outside the halacha anyway, so then you can't bring a riot from that.
No, they don't care. They probably have like another halacha. One could. They probably don't hold the drasha also. They both have to come in. They probably also have one. I don't know. Hey, he's saying he's like doing the 75.
Well, even more so, the fact that it was so unusual means it would be very publicized.
Yeah, sure.
And everybody
would
get to know that.
Oh, and it sounds like if they would have not killed the guy, what did Tzedukim say? Tzedukim would have said, oh, because we're right. See, the Chacham don't really hold what they say. We're really right. And they're not killing the Eidim Zomim because it was only after stage two. So he's saying, in order for them not to think that we're wrong, in order to get it out from their hearts and show them they're wrong, we kill after stage two, Dafka. Therefore, he killed one guy. He held it very important for Machlokes. Like, this is Marty Obama says, sometimes Dayanim in those days, you're allowed to kill a person for like a specific case if they had a very strong reason. Let's say in this case, to save everybody from holding him in Tzedukim, let's say. Like we're about to say. He also felt bad for the guy. Went to his grave to ask Chuba. But some guy's got to be the carbon. He wasn't a tzaddik, this guy. Don't worry. He was being Eidim Zomim.
He became a tzaddik.
Afterwards, hopefully. And he got a tikkun.
So he wasn't over
on the river? He
was worth
it. He did something wrong. He was saying a false testimony. But we shouldn't have been called the Eid Zomim really. Because you only call the Eid Zomim if they both get Zomim. Good?
So what are they if there's only one?
So what?
What if there's only one?
Usually we wouldn't kill him. He's off the... Usually we wouldn't kill him.
The next mission.
Right, like we'll see in the next mission. Hopefully we'll get to it too. Good. So Amalishim and Shetah. Amalishim and Shetah told him... It was obviously greater than him. He told him, you're wrong. I'm going to show him a shetah. He told him the opposite. Ere ben Achama, I will see ben Achama, meaning I should see ben Achama, like we say before, let's say all my kids should die. Well, if this is not true. If you did not, shafach the dam naki, if you didn't kill, spill clean blood.
Right.
He's saying, you're saying you're so proud that you killed a guy. I'm telling you, you killed an innocent guy. And you had no right to do what you did. Couldn't I say it was only scenario 1-8? It says to some of the say, you had all your cheshbainas, it's to teach everybody in Klai Yisrael, to do something wrong, and all that. This case you don't do, should have done such a thing. Right? Fine. Why? Why were you wrong? Amar Chachamim, because behold, the Chachamim say, right, the Chachamim say, what do the Chachamim say? They say, in the Zomim Ne'aragim, Achiz Amushneim. The Eidim Zomim do not get killed until they both become Hazamified. They both become accused for being Eidim Zomim. In this scenario, only one was Eidim Zomim. Therefore, you did wrong, you shouldn't have killed him. Also, it says in the Mishnah, they ain't like it, actually, that was Shneim. You don't get Malchus until they both have Hazamah. So now we see the greatness of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabi. What happened? Miyad, immediately, Kibo Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabi accepted on himself. She'ein amayah herha, he won't rule rulings, meaning he won't make any rulings. Elo lefnei Shem ben Chetah, unless it's in front of Shem ben Chetah. So you see, it's instead of just arguing and saying, "Oh, the rabbi's wrong," and that, this Shemeshetha is telling him, "You killed a guy." Right? You know how like the guilt you have to feel. He's like, you have to accept that. You know how hard it is to accept that you killed an innocent person? So you're right. I'd accept that. You know what? I'm going to do tshuva. You know what tshuva is? I'm wrong. And from now on, I'm going to change. From now on, I see I can't judge on my own. From now on, I'm going to only do things before you.
It's interesting because even the wording here that you screwed Dan Naki, he wasn't innocent. Technically speaking, he could have got off on a technicality.
I'm knocking.
He deserves to die.
I'll
be holding Dan Naki.
He's not worthy of death.
He's Dan Naki. He shouldn't have died.
You're right. Pasha in this case. Fine. Now that's the story. So we see first Rabbi Matavi how great he was. He humbled himself right away. He said, "You right? From now on, I'm not going to pasken unless I'm in front of you. I'm not ruling any rule." Now, not only that, we see. So first of all, that was, he's true. From now on, he's doing tshuva that he's going to only make rulings in front of his Rebbe or this big tzaddik, this big tam chacham shem ben chetta. Not only that, he also went to this guy's. Now he did tshuva for himself between him and Hashem. From now on, he's going to try to do ben Allah chaver between him and this guy. He killed the innocent guy. So he went, what do you do if we ask someone who does something wrong to us? You go to that grave and ask the mechila. So he went to the guy's grave and he asked him for forgiveness. All his days, he didn't like skip some days, he kept on going. It sounded like all his days. A long time. He went to his grave. He would prostrate himself to his status on his kever.
The kever.
Mishtatech means like to, it's more than prostrate. Prostrate is the status really means. What you do on a kever, you lie down. Real shtatlas is like the kubam. I don't know these days do so much. The real shtatlas is saying they used to do an umam,
like
a flat.
When it used to be a flat thing,
but you can't do it anymore. Yeah, so well, that's really supposed to do a shtatlas. You can't really do it anymore.
You
buy
a
tzaddik.
Into the kever when not a lot of people left.
Not on top.
My mentor did it.
Not on
top. He said, "Yeah."
We did shtatlas.
It's called shtatlas.
Yeah.
What you're allowed to do today?
So, why is the rest of it? Some people, we don't do real. Really, a pikabala, really, shtatlas, a pikabala. Used to be in the Tanam Ram, you can really, real, pikabala, real, shtatlas is to lie on top of it. Put your face to the guy's face, and your hand to his hand,
and
your mouth to the mouth, and like your nose to his nose, and like whatever he has left. And then you like reconnect with him, you reconnect with him somehow.
Yeah.
We do shtatlas now, we're not connecting with all the things. So, we try to do shtatlas anyway. Yeah, Elisha, he did shtatlas on a little kid.
That was
the Russian
in Hebrew?
Yes, I don't know if they said it with there, but it means that Rizal, he used to go to the farm, he did a shtatlas, connect with them, and make all kind of things, and bring them back and talk to them. And okay, we do a shtatlas, when we say we do a shtatlas, we're not really mishtatech. We just do the mishtatech part, we just do like the prostrating part. Right, we do the motion. Meaning, in shtatlas, when we say shtatlas, we don't mean to do shtatlas the way the Kabbalah Zohar means shtatlas. That you're connecting with the whole thing and doing all the Kabbalah.
Try, huh?
No, that you shouldn't do. This. You shouldn't. Not on the level to do it because you don't know what you're doing.
But you could at least lie down and just.
No, so that's what we do. We do what we down. We down and they should help us.
Yeah,
we down.
If I lie down, I'm going to start thinking,
What do you think of real status? You don't know what to think.
I don't know what to think, but I'm going to start having Kabbalahs. Like,
don't worry, it's fine. You're not going to get there. Trust me.
Don't
have to worry about it.
The story of Baal Shem Tov, the guy had the sitter, and he chased after Baal Shem Tov on the lake, and that story.
We're not saying
with simplicity,
because there's
shtatlas, you know
what you mean?
So that's
why we do it with
simplicity.
Right. Means we can have such a simplicity means I just do it without all the kavanas. Perhaps I don't do all the kavanas. Do it, I'm just being with
what you want. So.
It's true, do what you want.
But have the simplicity you want.
No, you do whatever you want. You do what you think is good for you.
I don't know what's good.
No, so we do shtatlas. We do. You go to Rav Shimon. We do shtatlas. We just do it to be battle. It's like we battle ourselves in a tzad that we beg to help us. We're not like connecting the. You know, we're not doing these things. Fine. Anyway, he used to be mishtatech on the kever.
He did it in the official way.
Sounds like because he used to speak to this guy and ask the mechila. So he would like we go to the kever to ask mechila. We just ask. Yeah, he's connecting.
Wow.
That's and then awesome. We hear voices screaming. So what happens? So usually it's mishtateach means. I mean, that's what usually means.
That's awesome.
That's a real shtatlas, like connecting and doing the whole thing. So Rabbi Yehuda. No, it says protest. Wrote this press when you do shtatlas on the sea.
Where?
Say we go to the Uma. You're supposed to do shtatlas on the sea. Yeah.
Before it's
Kaleb did it. What? Kaleb did it.
Kaleb
also. Kaleb was Mishtateach. Okay, we obviously say.
Kaleb
Ben Yefune. He did it in Chevron.
He was Mishtateach?
Yeah,
he went to visit, though.
He'll go visit. There's a Gemara inside that something.
Over
there also, he was Mishtateach, and it says he's Mishtateach. The Gemara inside says he's Mishtateach. That's a Gemara. And he asked them, and he said, he davened to them straight. He said, you should help me.
Right,
and
that
he
davened.
And yeah, they should be Mishtateach. Yeah, he should get saved. Kaleb Ben Yefune. He went and if you look at the Gemara, because I'll tell you, comes again, the Shaila is that when you go to Kibbutz Tzadikim, so of course you could daven to Hashem. One way is to daven, right? Mishibur Ben Shchai says, you could daven to Hashem, that this Tzadik I'm davening here by his Kaver, he should help me. I'm talking to Hashem now, this Tzadik should help me. That's one way to daven by a Kaver. Or, another way is to daven straight, not to daven, to talk,
to speak
to the Tzadik. And ask him to daven to Hashem, to intercede by Hashem Shemayim. And that's beautiful. Now, where's the makar for that? How do we know you're allowed to string? How do you know you're supposed to? How do you know you're supposed to string? So really, it's in Shulchan Aruch. It's in the big Shulchan Aruch. The whatever it's brought in the Ramah. The Ramah says the Indian Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the Kvarim. Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to Kvarim. And over there, the Matzah Shekel on the page, one of the commentaries say that what's the source? The source is for the Gemara in Saita. If you look up the Gemara and say to what Kaleb Ben Yefune did, it says there, the Gemara says straight out, he spoke to the Avos. It said, if you look at the Gemara and say to that something, it said that with it straight out, the Gemara said, so he says, that's the Makar, you speak to the, you could, if you want, you could speak directly to the Mace, ask Hashem to, ask him to intercede from, on my behalf to Hashem. But yeah, you can speak to.
Just from Sfarah, there's no difference, perhaps, if you just go to a Rebbe and say, Rebbe, can you pray for me?
Saying to a dead Rebbe, you're allowed to do one way, you're allowed to do the other. It's not a problem, really, but just the clarification. You're right, it's really not a problem, but it's a clarification, because really, you're not supposed to talk to dead people. Stop talking to dead people and call them down and connect with a regular dead guy. You're not supposed to.
Really, it's not, and it says in the book, he's not dead.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Hanami, but still. Right, so Zarya says that's...
The normal guy,
maybe
shouldn't ask him to be a representative.
I don't know.
No, a parent, I think, could be okay.
By Rav Rosenfeld, they asked Rav Nassim. He said yes. He said you could speak to Rav Rosenfeld.
Speak to Rav to what's it called? Rav Shtarna.
To Rav Rosenfeld. No, we went through Rav Harazitzim.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, pick the reason. So people.
Well, I asked him. He was davening, and I was davening to Hashem. I spoke to Rav Rosenfeld. I asked Rav Nassim. Like I spoke to Rav Rosenfeld. Right? He said it's right. Some people hold it's wrong. But we hold it right.
No, it's Shulchan Aruch. Max Shagel said it's right. It's a Gemara.
Whatever we hold.
Some people
said they're scared.
They're scared of too many things.
I don't know.
They're scared we're going to have their staff
put. I don't know. Also, the people don't understand what's happening if you're talking to the dead person. It's very clear. If a person understands that, they're talking to Tali, they're asking Tali to intercede on my behalf, then it's fine. It's a Gemara. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Gemara. Not to be afraid of other people. That's it. Some people don't get involved.
How close do you have to be in your camera to be able to talk to them?
Rav Nassim says, as long as you could see the caver,
okay.
Or even the tzion, let's say you're in Miron Lag Barmi, you don't have to see the cave, you don't have to go inside and like drop dead inside,
okay.
Like have a heart attack.
Even there anyway.
You can see, as long as you could see the tzion,
you could stand up on the block and overlook.
If you could see the caver from where you are,
yeah.
If you could see, let's say that Rizal from where you're standing, you have good eyes standing
exactly.
Here. Then it's Rav Nassim says good enough. I mean, it's better, of course, to be Mishtadeh and go down. But let's say for whatever reason, let's say someone's a Kohen.
Kohanim
can't go down.
Rav Nassim
gives a heter. There is a concept to go right there, but Rav Nassim says a heter for us. He says you don't have to go in.
Google Earth. But
it's Lachatila, no? Of course, better to be Mishtadeh. Let's say he's saying a Kohen. If you could see, Rav Nassim, if you could see it, let's say a father says Rav Nachman climbed on his hand and feet to get to, what's his name? Rav Chris Bedai. In Tzfat, in Miron, in between Sfat and Miron, Rav Chris Bedai. Of course, remember Rav Bar Yilai. He's buried. Like even today, it's very hard to get. There's no steps.
Oh.
And brought there, Rav Nachman climbed. They climbed. Yeah, it's on top. He climbed on his hands and feet with this guy to try to get to the cave. Of course, it's better to get to the cave itself. To get to the cave of Chris Bedai. Can still go today. It's still pretty hard to get.
Who was
Rav Nachman? He was Rav Chris Bedai. He's a Amir, Tanner, Amir. Yeah, but he's buried right across from the Bayi Light. Across the...
Where you went to Bayi Light, there's actually a place there.
Yeah, they made a whole night. Across, right across the street, if you cross that road...
Arrows up there also.
I don't know what's up there, but yeah, there's this Arab thing over there. Got a few, but even today it's hard. It's like climbing. They made like cement things.
I
like,
wanted to go. I didn't know what's up there. I didn't have time
to go to the Arab. I wanted to go. It's fine. He's a good man. He's fine. So anyway, to find him, where they're going. Chris Bedell, yeah. It's across from Yehuda Bayi Light. If you go to Yehuda Bayi Light, you'll get right across the street. They're your neighbors. Fine. What were we saying? Fine. Back to Mishtateya. So he, this Yehuda Ben Tave, was Mishtateya on the caver of this guy who he killed. Right? It's actually interesting. Yeah, I guess they buried this guy. Fine. There's a lot of these who bury them in a special thing. And the guy who got killed by Besting got buried in a special cemetery. So he went to the another. I don't know, maybe you should have moved the guy. Maybe they could move him. I don't know. But fine. So that's all. So let's go. So what's happening?
Hayakola Nishma.
His voice was heard. And the Gemara doesn't know whose voice was heard. The people didn't know whose voice was heard. The Gemara really says Kailai was his voice. It was the voice of, the Gemara is saying it was really Kailai, his voice. It was the voice of
the aide?
No, it was the voice of
Shimon ben Tabai.
So now the Gemara is going to say, they thought, oh. So again, Chalim Shimon ben Tabai, Mishnah, I'll give a shall I say, Hayakola Nishma, his voice was heard. Uchesvurin ha'am leimrat, the nation, they're logically said, who's screaming here? They're hearing voices coming out. This guy, they're hearing voices, spooky voices coming out of the grave.
Spooky.
Who is this? They thought, Kaila Shel Haruk. Must be the voice of the Haruk. He's like trying to tell him, be my chami. And the guy's like, woo. I don't forgive you. Now, be my. They thought the other guy saying, I don't forgive you. He's screaming back, responding. I don't know if he's screaming back. But really, Ben-Tabai is screaming to forgive him. But, oh. So Amar, he said, no, Kaila Shelihu. He told him it's my voice.
It's such a strange.
The people thought, you're saying this was the common myth.
Wrong.
The common myth was that this guy keeps screaming at Yehuda ben Tabai. Why are you saying they're wrong?
Get,
what?
People
think that this guy's screaming. He's screaming back. But why are you saying they were wrong? Oh, so Yehuda ben Tabai, he didn't lie. He said, what?
Why
does he care to
it could be sound like a little bit of Chil Hashem that this guy wasn't my Chil. It sounded like this guy didn't forgive him. That's his mind. Imagine this guy wasn't forgiving him. It was like a Chil Hashem. He killed an innocent guy and the guy didn't forgive him. It sounded like this guy wasn't forgiving him.
Why would you still go?
I don't know. Could he keep it? I don't know. I mean, it could be he forgave him. Anyway, that's what the people thought also. That's what I saw it broke down. Like, he keeps going every day. The guy keeps screaming back. It could be that's what people also assume that he didn't forgive him. He keeps on screaming every day, meaning he didn't forgive him. What?
Something's going on here.
Yeah, they thought what's going on with it. So, Maisa, he told him it's not true. He said it's my voice. But it's fine. Lamachar, he said, I'll bring you a proof. How do I know it's my voice? I'll bring you a proof. Lamachar, who makes, tomorrow he's going to die. Who's he? He, meaning he's referring to himself in third person. He doesn't mind saying, tomorrow I'm going to die. The Kaila Nisse, saying, Lamachar, Mace. In Kaila Nishma, his voice won't be heard. Meaning, my voice, once I die, won't be heard anymore. So, I'll prove to you it's my voice. That I'm the one davening, because you'll see, with the day I die, the voice will stop. Let's go to Rabbi Yael. What's the name of Rabbi Yael? Sorry. A lot of stuff going on. We're talking about Shtateya, on Kibra. Yeah. But he said no kolish. Tell the other man in kolish. I'm the rabbi. The rabbi, the rabashi. That's not a proof. I mean, that's not a good proof. The fact that the voice is going to stop is not a good proof that it wasn't Yud Ben Tava's voice. Why? Two things. First of all, Dilma Bedina Kambade. Either he made a din. Maybe Yud Ben Tava was nifter, and this guy made a court case and a judgment against Yud Ben Tava. So already he got his revenge. His justice was done. So this dead guy stopped screaming. Right, what do you say?
We say that Rav Asa here is doubting.
Yeah, oh, so they say he's not really doubting Yehuda Ben Tabai. Right. Saying your proof is not a good proof. Say the proof that you're trying to prove to me isn't a good proof. Not that we believe that it was that Yehuda Ben Tabai told us, we believe that it wasn't Yehuda Ben Tabai. But your proof is not a good proof. Right? Why is it not a good proof? Because even though Yehuda Ben Tabai died and the voice stopped, so we said it must be.
Did die?
Yehuda Ben Tabai's voice. If he said, when I'm going to die, the voice will stop. He didn't die yet, but we're saying, technically speaking, it's not a good proof. Why? First of all, Dilma, Bedina Kambade. Maybe this guy got justice. The guy's a Shemayim. And now Yehuda Ben Tabai died. So he got his justice. What's your Reuven? What's
so
it called?
He could have technically been screaming, but he just got his justice. He stopped screaming, and that wasn't you would have attacked.
Of course, there was really this guy screaming.
The guy in the grave.
The guy in the box. Inabi, Pusey Pai.
The other box.
The guy in the talus. Inami, he made it into the Gemara. He won the lottery. No, Piusei Paisei is, he was Mephiasim. He appeased him. It could be Yehuda Metabi got to Shemayim, and this guy, he used to be the guy screaming, woohoo! Yehuda Metabi got up to Shemayim. He said, Carl, I'll tell you what, I messed you up. I come into my seat, I'll bring you to my Bismedrish, I'll give you a good seat in Shemayim. So maybe he made good terms, so the guy stopped screaming his spooky scream. But a lot of the Gemara is saying, so the proof that the voice stopped when Yehuda Metabi died isn't a proof that it was Yehuda Metabi's voice. Could have been the dead guy. But anyway, about the Gemara is saying, of course, we believe it. Yehuda Metabi told us it was his own voice. We believe about it was his own voice. Saying the proof isn't a good proof. Of course, it was Yehuda Metabi. Fine. That was reviewing the Gemara from yesterday. Let's start trying to etch in to the next Mishnah.
Rashi?
We did it yesterday. Okay. Next Mishnah. You try to go with the Gemara the day before without the Rashi and then get the next Mishnah. It's a new plan. Good. And let's see the next Mishnah. Oh, new Mishnah. Whoever's waiting for a new start. Here. If you're always waiting for the next Mishnah, now it's here. Rosh Chodesh. It's our new Mishnah. Like the Mishnah. Api Shnayim Eidim, Ashloisha Eidim Yumas Hameis. This is a pasuk of the Torah. The Torah says, on the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, a meis should die. A person should die, get killed. Meaning, if two people want to testify in Beis Din that someone deserves Misa, so good, either if you have two people testifying, or three people, that's a good testimony, and will kill this person. Right? Based on the testimony of two or three people. Good? What's a simple question? If I tell you this, if you have two people, two Eidim could come, and two kosher Eidim come and testify against the person, that's enough to kill a person. That's will kill a person based on two people, right?
So why do you need three?
And it says not only that, but before Eidim Zayim, what's the pasuk? The pasuk and the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Through the mouth of two Eidim, or three Eidim will kill the guy. So what's a simple question? Right? The positive thought me, a chiddush. First of all, on the mouth of two witnesses, we'll believe them, that Reuven deserves to die, and we'll kill Reuven.
So why need three?
Not only that, also three come, we'll also kill him.
Doesn't make sense.
If the Eidus is upright, standing upright, if it's valid, right? Miskayim means it's fulfilled, and it's valid. Bishnayim, if it stands with two people, based on two witnesses, lama parat hakazu. Why does the pasuk be fired? Why does it have to speak? Why does it specify hakazu bishloisha? Why does it specify three? So why is it what? Pratas is specific, like the klal. The klal is the thing, and the prat is the
specify. Why does it have to specify three?
Why does it specify three? Good. So why does it specify three? Ella must be lahakish. We're saying it's for a hekish. And a hekish weir, not for the case of regular Eidim, when it's a juxtaposition, this article says. Meaning, it's two words near each other. Whenever there's two words near each other, let's say in this place it says Shnayim, I'll be Shnayim Eidim and Shloish Eidim, we're connecting two halachas. Good?
You're collecting two halachas of two and three?
Of two to three. A halacha that we know applies already by two,
therefore applies by two.
Will also apply to three. Our question, why is it Tarek to speak out three? Since it's key. That's what you say. But I would think that was the worst question. If two are good, you could believe two. Kavachomer for sure, or you could believe three eight.
Right.
And so why does the Torah have to speak at three? Why does the Torah have to speak at three? Must be to teach you a special halacha, right?
It is a kavachomer.
Meaning, one second. You're right. You would know three from a kavachomer, right? If two are good, if we believe two witnesses, for sure we believe three witnesses, right? So why is the Torah writing three witnesses? Obviously, it's not just to teach me the simple fact that three witnesses are accepted to kill a person. It must be saying a new chiddush, a new halacha, right? Now, what's that new halacha? That new halacha is that we're trying to connect three to two, right? Because what does the pasuk say? Api shnayim oy shloisha edim, two or three edim. So the Torah, we're not writing this whole halacha for that, just for the mere fact to tell you three eight witnesses are accepted, because that's simple. We're telling you a new halacha that three is connected to two. Now, what's that halacha? That's by halacha of edim zayim. Now we jump into the world of edim zayim. So it's saying, Al Pishnaim is the Mishnah, 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 to make a hakish, mash loisha, so we always skip parentheses, mash loisha, mezimit es hashnayim, just like logically, the Torah said there's a parsha of hazama, meaning there's something called hazama, at shnayim yuzmu es hagimu. So again, what's the Mishnah, what are we saying here? We're saying like this, that just like we know the Torah tells you a chiddush of Edim Zayman, which we said many times already, the Torah, the halacha of Edim Zayman is a very big chiddush, right? What's a chiddush? First two Edim, pair of Edim come in, says Reuven killed Shimon, right? A second pair come and say, no, you were with us, right? You were with us, and you didn't see the story, right? What, which group do we believe?
The second group.
The second group. And why do we believe the second group? The first guy is saying, we were in Yerushalayim on Sunday, right? 9 a.m. The second group says, no, you were with us in Bnei Brak, right? So who are we believing? Who do we believe just now?
The second
group. So why is the second group stronger than the first? We know, whenever you have a two against two, we should cancel each other out. Well, why is the second group strong? Right? Yeah. Come to the Torah and says a chiddush. That's the Zeris HaKos. It's a chiddush by Edim Zayimim. That is the chiddush of Edim Zayimim. There's a chiddush. The Torah says, believe the second pair over the first pair. That's it. So I would think, when do we say that chiddush? That's only if the second group has three and the first group has two. So you're telling me because three are stronger than two? But let's say you only have a two against two, right? The first group has two and the second group has two. Maybe you don't say this halacha of Edim Zayimim. Remember I'm saying good? When do you say, I would think, when do you say the halacha of Edim Zayimim? The second group has three, so it's a three against two. So the reason why I believe the second group is because they're a majority over the first group. But if I would have a case where it's just two and two, maybe you don't believe the second group of two more than the first group of two.
So you're saying three is more prevalent than two.
That's what I would think. Comes the puzzle and says, no. We're connecting three to two. It doesn't make a difference to us. It's three. We're
always like Ashva.
Right. We're equalizing them. I don't know how to say it in English. We're equating them.
Equating.
Yeah. We're equating the three to the two. Saying just like you understand, even though in your logic you would think it's by three, the same halacha applies to two. If the second group has two, the second group who says you're with us somewhere else is stronger than the first group. So that's why we connect. So again, we wonder why the Torah is telling me that halacha, that three Edom are believed. I can understand it from a Kabbal Chaim if two witnesses are believed, right? For sure, three witnesses are believed. Saying it's coming to tell me a whole new halacha. It's coming to compare three to two. It's just like logically, I would think that the whole halacha of Edom Zayimim, that the second group is stronger, is when there's three, the second group has three. Now, even if the second group has two, they're also stronger. I mean, I would think the second group is only stronger when they have three. But if the second group has two, maybe they're not stronger. Plus, they know, three or two edim, we're connecting three and two. So the second group is always stronger no matter what, even if it's only two. So kind of, even if you have a two against two, we believe the second group.
What about
two against
three?
What is the second
group?
The second group says you were with us, right? So why do we believe? Maybe you only believe then when they're a group of three. No. So yes, two against three also would also be good. We're going to speak about it later. It's also good. It's the second group also is believed. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, I mean, the Gemara is going to cut. It's coming soon. We're coming up to your case in a second. So the Gemara is saying like this. That's our case right now. We say just like three could go against two. Afashnayim also two. Use one gimel could go against three. Right. The reason why the second group is stronger is not because they're a majority. That the second group is three and the first group is two. There's nothing to do with that. It's the Torah saying the second group is stronger than the first group. That's the halacha of Edom Zayimim. I would think the reason the second group is stronger is because they're a majority, because they're three. Whereas they know, even if the second group is a minority, there are only two. and the first group was three, still you will leave the second group to say you were with us, and the Edom are come, Edom Zed. That's our mission. Uminayin afilu meya, had even 100. How do we know two Edom, if the second group has two, they can either be stronger than the first group, which has 100. Right? How do you know it goes that far? So, Tamalamar Edim. The Pasuk says Edim witnesses, meaning it says, so the Rabbi Chanan, it's really hard to understand a little bit. Maybe it's not hard. Oh, could it say Shnaim or Shlosha Edim? So it comes with extra word Edim to people. How does the word Edim teach me that the first group has 100? When I'm saying I'll be Shnaim or Shlosha Edim, who am I talking about? In the Drusha, we're focusing on the Edim Zayimim. In the Drusha, who's the Alpi Shnaim or Shlosha Edim? Who are we talking about in the Drusha? Alpi Shnaim or Shlosha? Which group? The Edim Zayimim. We're saying these Edim Zayimim are Yumas HaMeis. They're killing the first group. Yeah. Right? Usually, right?
It's the second group you're saying?
That's the Drusha. That's the Drusha. That's a simple shot in the Drusha. The second group, Alpi Shnaim, if the second group is two or three, because, right? Not only if they're three, they could be even two. They kill the Meis. Who's the Meis? Who are they killing here? They're killing the guys from the first group. The first Edim, those Edim Zayimim, that's who they're killing. So how do you see the word Edim, that the first group has 100? I said, how do you know, even if the second group has 2 and the first group has 100, because it says Edim. How do you just do that? Whether it was a trick? Joking? You're in the world, you're talking about the second group now, so how does 100 mean the first group? So, when Hanan says, in a way we're really going back to the Pashup, we're getting out of the world of Drush, we're going back to the Pashup Shah. Apishnai Meshloshe Edim is referring to the first group, right? And Edim is telling me, because this halakha is all over, that two Edim are equal to 100. 2 and 100 are the same. Say we're equating 2 to 100. That's what we're just trying to equate 2 to 100, even in the first group. And once I learned the halakha, even on the first group, in a regular scenario, 2 is like 100. So Edim Zayim, for also the halakha, Edim Zayim, I don't care. Meaning, I tell you 2 and 100 are the same to me. They make no difference. Once I teach you that rule, right, so now I know, even if the Edim Zayim are 2 and the first group is 100, I don't care. Because 2 and 100 are equal.
Threshold or cutoff,
they grant you a rule and give you a rule. So 100, but we're saying over here, maybe, that's what it's asking me. How do I know that you're telling me the second group is stronger? Maybe they're only stronger than a certain amount than the first group, because they came second. Let's say the second becomes very powerful. Maybe they're stronger. I hear you saying.
Maybe it's what you're saying. Maybe it's that. Because you go back to the previous sub, that once you get to a certain point, you've now got to
Say no, still. Oh, very good. That's a good thing. Because three could still save it. Maybe 100 guys all scuba done. Fine, very good. Okay, so now. It's good. What time is it? Tov. 2 minutes is too much. 1 second. Fine, so we'll stop over here.
You mentioned something that it also means the person who is being tried is already considered dead. In your mind, if he did murder, so he's already a method.
That's right. I
see.
Why do you call
the
method? It's your mind, you're already a method.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll try to. Yeah, I said tomorrow we'll try to speak it out. Fine, it's great. We'll tomorrow we'll try to get the mission. It's a big mission with Rashi. Sunday.
Yom Rishon.
Yom Rishon, Bezat Hashem.
Are you right?
Yom Rishon, you're doing good.